Good morning, good morning, good morning. Just in the way of total practicality, Kurt, Doug, last week I noticed that this light turned red, okay, which means the battery's dying, and I meant to tell you and I forgot, and so it's red again. So just a reminder to the tech guys to put new batteries in those so it doesn't go dead on us. So we're very practical here, so just wanted to share that. You know, Wendy came. Wendy's doing the video this morning, and we get messages. You know, people will, say hi, or they'll ask for prayer and such like that. But she just brought up a couple of do it while you're thinking about it, right? Right. And anyways, she just said, hey, a couple people that did just so. Barb Billick, if you're still watching, she said, hi, blessings to you all. We miss you, wish you were here, and you and Bill. And also, Dixon Mutisu tuned in this morning from Sudan. And so Dixon, part of Global Response Network over there, he said, may you all be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So God bless you, Dixon, if you're still on. And we pray for you and for the ministry of GRN and what you're doing over there. So I just wanted to mention those. And maybe that's going to be kind of a new thing we do. I don't know. We get a number of those messages and just decided to do that today. You know, the Tim had mentioned the garage, and I missed it. Rick said, I said, oh, it's probably the most fun thing in 4 years of building, you know, and I missed it. And Rick said, I would have traded places with you. They were here till 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon tearing that down. I was at a seminar in Rochester. I came through about 8:30 in the morning when they were just getting started, stopped for a minute. And I came back through about 5:30 at night. And I was anxious. I'm coming down 31. I'm wondering what it's going to look like, you know, and how much... And it was gone. You know, I really didn't think they were going to get it all done in one day. And it all fit in the dumpster, other than the bricks that are out there. But just so you understand why that's significant, because that's going to be our entrance driveway. Okay, I don't think Tim mentioned that specifically. So, you know, we're bringing in a new driveway. So it'll be kind of a loop. Now, you'll come in this way, and you can drop folks off, park, and go out the other way, and such like that. But so that just brings me to this. We need money. like I said, we're very practical here. You know, God has been so faithful. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You know, just over these last 4 years, I've learned so much about faith and the faithfulness of God. And, but we need a little bump, you know, to get that, done. So, if God would, you know, we sent out a letter earlier this year about, you know, kind of our needs. And one of the biggest expenses we still have, probably 2/3 of what we said we needed to do this year, is all paving. And we broke it up into two things. The main parking lot, and I know, ladies, I know, don't hit me, you know, because it's not good on your shoes and stuff like that walking through the stone. But that is, barring a miracle, that's probably not on the table this year. You know, it's going to take something really big. That's about almost $50,000 just for that over there. But this is 14 something, you know, to do this driveway. And so we just need a little bump, you know, in the next few weeks. And we're kind of up against a little bit of a time crunch because they pave up until maybe mid-October or so. They can go a little bit later, but, you know, they need to have a certain temperature in the morning and stuff when they start. So so we got a couple months. Love to get that in. Love to have it in before the dedication service. So we'll see. God has been faithful. So I just wanted to mention that. Lastly, before I get into the message, and I apologize, but this is very important. Some of you are probably aware of the ministry of Mario Murillo. Mario Murillo has been a pastor evangelist for many, many years, and he's done things all over the world. Well, I don't know the whole history of him and his ministry, but he's been out in California. Does anybody know where? If it's Sacramento, that sticks in my mind. I'm not sure. But back last year, during the midst of COVID, I think, and everything, as I recall, he started doing tent meetings out in the city where he is. And God showed up. I mean, like, God showed up in a major, major way. And to my knowledge, they're still doing tent meetings, you know, and thousands of people. have come to know Christ, been healed, been delivered. It's just been an amazing, amazing move of God. So it's a long story, and I won't make it long, but a pastor that I know from Batavia, Paul Doyle, got connected. It's a long story, but he got connected with Mario through, and I won't go into the details. And in the midst of that connection, Mario really felt God calling him to Western New York and to do some ministry here. So this coming Saturday, the 21st, at 10 o'clock in the morning, there's a, it's called a Pastors and Leaders Brunch, but anybody can go. Yeah, I'm not sure if there's still room, but I would, I can't go, to it, and I'm really disappointed about that, but I can't go to it. It's next Saturday at 10. But if anybody's interested, let me know. You can sign up, you can just register, it's free, and you can just go and sign up. I'd love to have representation from our church there, cause there's something else that's coming. This is just a prelude. So go to cornerstonebatavia.org. cornerstonebatavia.org. And see if there's still space. It's free. It's brunch. Mario will be there. He's going to share. And this is the big, this is the big, big news. He's coming here to Batavia in October, 3rd through the 6th, I believe, to do tent meetings, revival meetings. And who knows, maybe they'll, well, weather can become an issue, but maybe they'll last longer than that. So it's a big thing. I know people, when they're hearing about this, they're like, are you kidding? You know, people that know what God's been doing out in California, that he's going to be, he said the wells of revival run deep in Western New York. And I just feel like God is calling me there. So he's going to be, this is kind of a prelude for it. And then coming up in October, the plan is for tent meetings in Batavia. So, man, start praying about that. Start lining up people that you can invite and take there. It's going to be quite a time. So, the message this morning. The same problem I had last week. What, we got to figure out what that is. There's something that just needs to be clicked or something. I had the same issue last week. But the title of the message is The Goodness of God. It has not escaped my notice that I'm sharing a message called The Goodness of God, and Tanya lost her son less than 48 hours ago. And I thought about that a lot yesterday, so I was praying and thinking about, you know, praying for Tanya and thinking about, you know, what she's going through. And, you know, the interesting thing is, when I was preparing this message, I thought about that particular scenario, not obviously Tanya, but earlier this week as I was preparing, I was thinking, what if one of my children died or one of my grandchildren? Could I still say what I'm going to say this morning about the goodness of God? What if our son died in Afghanistan, you know, when he was there a number of years ago? Could I still talk about the goodness of God? Now, I understand we are people and we have emotions, and there's anger and there's confusion and there's denial and there's doubt and there's all these things that happen within us, and that's normal. But I believe that it is specifically at times like that when we need to believe in and embrace the goodness of God. These are the, I hear you, Diane, and I understand. These are the times when life deals its most crushing blows that we have to understand the goodness of God. We say God is good, right? God is good all the time, God is good. And I don't think that any of us really question that, but it is hard sometimes. It is hard sometimes. Skeptics, unbelievers, I've heard this and maybe you've heard it too, say, if God is good, then he must not be all powerful. I don't know if you've ever heard this. If God is good, then he must not be all powerful. And if God is all-powerful, then he must not be good. And what they're saying is this. If God is good, he would not allow the kind of pain and suffering that we see take place in the world. So if he is good and yet those things happen, then he must not really be all powerful. And if he is all powerful and yet things such as people dying in car accidents or whatever, you know, any number of countless things. If he is all powerful and those things happen, then he must not be good. So the conclusion is he either isn't good or he isn't all powerful. And it shouldn't come as any surprise to any of us here today that we believe that God is both good and he is all powerful. Things happen on this earth that do not reflect the heart and the will of God. We live in a fallen and sinful world, and things happen. We have free choice, right? We have free will. We have choice, and sometimes that plays into it. There's more to this than we sometimes understand. The goodness of God does not equal an easy life. The goodness of God does not equate to everything coming up roses. Right? As a matter of fact, we need, as I said in the beginning, we need to rest in the goodness of God more when we are going through the fire and more than when we are going through the storm than any other time in our lives. When we're in the midst of a fire or a storm and more than at times when it's all sunshine, those are the times we need to understand the goodness of God. I made of Kenny and the worship team, I made an unreasonable request of them this week. I don't do it often. No, not often at all, but I did this week. And I contacted Kenny Monday of this week, and I said, can you guys learn a new song and include it in your worship set on Sunday morning? And we're all busy. Ken's busy. And I said, and I meant it from the bottom of my heart. I said, I know that might not be possible. And they didn't even have rehearsal. Well, they did, but they switched days because of Trellis and Doug and everybody playing down on Thursday night. So they met on Wednesday for rehearsal, and Ken couldn't be there on Wednesday and all that. And he's explaining all this to me. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, it's okay. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I totally understand, and I meant that from the bottom of my heart. But they came through. Amen. And they did a song called Goodness of God. And, you know, and sometimes when I'm praying, when I'm next door, and I love the view out of my office window now without the garage there. Sometimes when I'm praying, I'll just go to, on my tablet, I'll go and I'll just play that song when I'm just praying. And I'll just listen to it. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Man, when I hear those words sometimes, you know, and I'm not a crier. I mean, we talked at Al's birthday a couple of weeks ago, how he wasn't, but when God came into his life, he became a crier, you know, if you know what I'm saying. And I'm not like that, but man, I listen to the words of that song, and it just brings me to tears, because I can say, and I can stand here and say, all of my life, he has been faithful. And all of my life, he has been good. And I am so moved by those words because they reflect one of the deepest heartfelt convictions that I have. That God is good. And he has been good to me. And I hope and pray you can say the same thing. The second verse says, I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. I have lived all my life in all of your life, even when you did not know him, even when you were his enemy. He has been good to you. He has been faithful. And I can say it from the bottom of my heart. You have been so, so good to me. And I hope you can say that with conviction as well. You know, I was thinking, this is, it's a Bethel song, Bethel music from Redding, California, Bill Johnson. And it's actually his son, Brian, and Brian's wife, Jen, I think, that wrote this song with some others. But, and she's the one, the version I listened to, you know, she's the one singing it. And, you know, I got thinking, I said, I kind of think that when that song was written, this isn't a whole sermon about a song. I'll get into scriptures here in a moment, but I don't think they were sitting around one day and saying, you know, life has been so easy. I mean, we've had no problems, no crises. It's just been smooth sailing. I think I'm going to write a song about the goodness of God. I don't think that was where it comes from. I think it comes from, these kind of things come from times in our lives when sometimes our hearts are hurting and we've experienced pain and loss. And it's at times like that you stop and you think and you take inventory of your life and come to that conclusion. I hope and pray you can, that God is good and he has been so faithful all my life. You know, this week I was at LAN, as we call it, L-A-N, LifeNet Apostolic Network. That's Ron Domina. Ron's going to be here for our dedication. He's my father, my spiritual father, and, you know, that's our covering, LifeNet Apostolic Network. And so once a month we have a pastor's meeting in Rochester. It's usually at Bethel in Rochester. And so I'm going to confess something. I was a couple minutes late on Monday. I don't like being late when I go places, but I was a little late, and no excuses. So I come in, and it's in kind of a cafe setting, and there's tables and chairs, and so it was kind of full. And I saw a table with a couple of pastors sitting there in a empty chair, and I said, "Can I sit there?" And I know who these guys are, and hi, how you doing, that sort of thing. But I didn't know him well. And one of these men that I was sitting with, after the meeting, it was a great meeting, but we have lunch together. And so we're sitting there, we're eating lunch, and we're talking. And he's an older man, older than I am, at least. And I've known of him, and I've known of his ministry. It's a very significant ministry and has had a significant impact in the Rochester area. And he said to me, he said, I don't know how it came up. He said, "I have been pastoring this church," and I think he started the church, "for 51 years. You know, I think, I always think, you know, I've been pastoring for 34 years here. You know, that's a long time. I understand. But I also thought, I was like, wait a second. If I pastored that, I'd be in my 80s, you know, if I got to that 51 years. And he's probably in that range in terms of his age. And he's a godly man. He's kind of soft. I've never heard him preach, but kind of soft-spoken guy. But I know he's had a great impact. And he's a very godly man. And we're just having this conversation over lunch. And he shared something with me of a personal tragedy that he went through within the last couple of years. And it didn't literally happen, but I felt like my jaw kind of dropped. I was like, oh my goodness. And I didn't even know what to say. You know, it wasn't like the kind of conversation we were having. And it just kind of, I'm not sure, you know, how we got to that place. And I was like, wow. And I tried to just say words of encouragement and, you know, God's with you. And this man, and I won't say who he was, I'm not going to say what happened or whatever, but he didn't say these exact words, but I know enough about him, and I know enough about his life and his ministry that I know that he would say, all my life he's been faithful. In spite of, you know, what he just shared and probably many, many other things. All my life he's been good to me. Because this perspective regarding the goodness of God is not based on the things that are happening to us, good or bad. It goes much deeper than that. Some people find that, and some people don't. And you know, there's two ways to approach life. Some people shake their fist at God and wonder why they're going through difficult and painful times. It's not fair, God. I'm your child. Why is this happening to me? We've probably all had those moments, right? But then there's, in the book of Acts, the apostles. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's not a natural response to getting beaten. Physically beaten. That's a supernatural response. You get beaten for the name of Jesus. I'm sure if you read Voice of the Martyrs material and such like that, you'll come across many, many stories like that. Rejoice that you're counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. You know, seems like a strange time, doesn't it? To be rejoicing. Right after you've been beaten. And I think, what are we missing sometimes in our lives? You know, James talked about it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God is good, even in the midst of difficult and painful times. Count it all joy. And I know that's easy to say. It's easy to stand up here and say. And I understand, and we all go through those times, like I said in the very beginning, of anger and confusion and doubt and denial and all those different emotions and everything that go on when life deals a hard blow to us. There's another word beyond talking about the goodness of God. I want to talk for a minute about the favor of God. The favor of God. We are beneficiaries of the favor of God. Can I get an amen for that? When I really stop and I consider the big picture of life, of my life, and I hope of your life, I can say that I feel like I have lived in the favor of God. Now, that doesn't make me special. You understand what I'm saying? Do you feel like you're living in the favor of God? There's actually another word for favor. Does anyone know what it is?
Grace.
Yes. Grace. You see, when I say the favor of God, I don't know, it sounds like, you know, God has favorites or something like that, and that's not what it means. But when you look at the root of the word grace, charis in the New Testament, I don't remember, in Greek, you know, in the New Testament, I don't remember, I read it, but I don't remember what the Hebrew word for it is. But they both go back to this idea of favor, divine favor. You know, we talk all the time about the grace of God on our lives, right? Well, you know what you're saying? The favor of God is on your life. God's favor is on your life. This verse, I love this verse. I remember Tim Archer sharing it years ago, and he said, I feel like this is my life. The boundary lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. And every one of us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what our life has been, If we stop and understand the goodness and the favor of God, and if we know Jesus Christ and we have a relationship with Him, we can say, I have a beautiful inheritance. And I live in the favor of God because we have a good Father, a Father who shows His favor in our lives. Can you say with me, the favor of God is upon me? Come on. The favor of God is upon me. I hope that resonates with your heart. Do we get discouraged? Yes. Do we get overwhelmed? Do we fall short of God's glory? Do bad things happen? All the above. All the above. I just want to read, I don't have it on the screen, but Psalm 61, I don't know, I just thought of this, I preached from this a year or so ago, I think. I remember, it wasn't that long ago. Hear my cry, O God. Psalm 61, it's not on the screen. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you, and my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter to me, a strong tower from my enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah, Selah, however you say it. Which, you know, when you see Selah or Selah in the, I guess it's Selah, in the Psalms there, it means stop and pause and think about, you know, what he just said. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years, as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. You know, so many of David's Psalms, if you read them, they start off with him talking about his adversity, with something difficult that's happening in his life. And as he works through his prayer and, you know, turning it into a song, a psalm, and, you know, he gets to the end and he's always given glory and praise to God, you know, and even in the midst of what he's going through. Paul said it this way, I'm almost done. In 2 Corinthians 4, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. I've preached from if you dig deep into those verses and look at the words, you know, I'm not going to do it today, but do a word study on what he's saying. Hard pressed, but not crushed. In other words, you can be under intense pressure, but by the grace of, you know, just intense pressure, the pressures of life, but not crushed. You can be perplexed, but not in despair. I may not know which way to turn. I may be confused, but I am not without hope. Amen? I may be persecuted, but not forsaken. I may be in trouble. I may be harassed, but I am not abandoned by God. Amen? And I may be, and the last thing he says, struck down, but not destroyed. That word, it doesn't matter, but I almost have it in my mind what the Greek word is, but it means to be knocked right to the ground. Knocked right to the ground, but I am not destroyed. And that's what Paul was saying. And those things are a reality in our lives. You know, we go through hard times, but we are not without hope. We are not in despair. We are not abandoned. We are not destroyed because of God's goodness. Paul said this, it's not on the screen, 2 Corinthians 11. Talking about his life and his ministry, serving the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27. And labors more abundant in stripes, in other words, in lashes and whippings, above measure, imprisoned more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, 40 lashes. 5 times. 40 stripes minus 1. That's the mercy, right? They'd only do 39. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I don't think any of us have been through what Paul went through for the sake of the gospel. And yet he said, I believe, or not, he didn't say it in these words, but he did say it, that all my life, Jesus has been faithful to me. How do I know that? Because in another place in Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If those are the light afflictions, I wonder what the heavier afflictions might be. Last verse. This is from Deuteronomy 28, and if you know that portion of Scripture, talking about all the blessings of God, all the blessings of God. All of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. The picture is the blessing of God following us and overtaking us. When I was a little kid, we had a St. Bernard dog, huge thing. And I don't know why, when I read that verse about the blessing of God overtaking us, I think of, it's the weirdest, I don't know how my mind works. I think about that big St. Bernard, and I'm 5 years old, whatever, I don't remember. And I would be playing with him in, in the yard. And I would take off running, you know, and the dog would overtake me, right? And I'm just a little kid, and this dog is huge, and this dog would run right up right between my legs and, you know, just knock me to the ground. And, just playing. That was just the way, you know, the dog could obviously run faster than I could. And the dog would just overtake me and knock me to the ground, you know. And I know why. When I think about the blessing of God coming upon us and overtaking us, I kind of think of that, you know. It's like we're running the blessing of God is following us. All my life, he's been faithful. You know, I don't know, as I close, I'll say a couple of things here in closing. I don't know what you're facing this morning, you know, as we gather here together, but I just felt to remind you this morning of a very basic truth. Why take a Sunday morning, you know, message and just talk about something that is so basic and so simple? Because I think we need sometimes to hear it. The goodness of God. It's not based on circumstances. It is based on the character of God. And I was thinking this, in light of all that, how then should we live our lives? The Scripture says that there are people that will come to us and say, what is the reason for the hope that is in you, right? I hope we can live our lives with that being a reality and not just a verse we read in Scripture. You know, that people are coming and saying, what's going on? I mean, we've all seen those people and said there's something different about them. You know, if we're Christian, we know, well, that's probably Jesus, you know, that makes them different, that makes them have that hope even in the midst of difficult things in life. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Maybe when you came in this morning, this wasn't your mindset. Maybe you were carrying some heavy things. The Bible says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And I just pray that this has helped to change your perspective. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And before we pray, I just said something, and maybe I said something and I asked you to stand. I talked about changing our perspective. I cannot change your circumstances. That's, as the saying has been tossed around for years here, that's above my pay grade, right? To change your circumstances, but I hope somehow that your perspective, if it needed to be, was adjusted, or maybe you just just as just a reminder to you of some very basic things. But I promise you that he is good, that his favor is upon our lives, and that we are blessed. Amen? Let's say that together. Can you say, he has been so good. He has been so good. The favor of God is upon me. And I am blessed. Amen? Lord Jesus, that is the truth. That is the truth. Because you are the truth. And you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are the Lord, and you do not change. So Lord, I know different ones here. Obviously, we're all at different places in our lives, but I pray, oh God, that we can say those words again. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good to me. And if anyone is listening to me today that doesn't know that, that does not know Jesus, that is where this all emanates from, a relationship with the living God. Our God is alive. He is alive forevermore, and we are alive in him if we have come to him through faith in what Jesus has done and surrendered our lives to him. So don't delay. If you need to say yes to Jesus, acknowledge his love, acknowledge your sin and what he has done for you, and surrender your life and invite him into your heart and into your life, and you will never be the same. Amen? Amen. So Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go live in the goodness of God. Diane Woodall. All right. Amen. All right. So please, and celebrate with Marley. God bless. You're dismissed.